Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. It is October 11th, Tuesday at 8:34 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:34 p.m. Pacific Time. And our secretary is R. Paul Martin from WBAI in New York. R. Paul, could you take the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Everyone's in the kitchen.
Bill Crozier.
Okay. Thanks.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman.
Here.
R. Paul Martin. Here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Present.
Barbara Wipperman. LeVarn Williams. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 7, and with 10, that's a quorum.
Okay.
Does
sounds good.
Come on.
Yes, I think.
Barbara. Okay.
Okay. And I don't know if you heard Ken Aaron. I heard him talking in the background, so my guess is that he is present.
Oh, he didn't answer up. Ken Aaron, you here?
Okay. Maybe not.
Well, maybe
forget
he'll
that.
Show up later, so.
Okay. I thought he already
had him too.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine. If we have quorum, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So we have a draft agenda that was sent out at 3:18 p.m. Pacific time this afternoon. I will go ahead and read it out loud for the stream. It's fairly straightforward. The first item is to approve this draft agenda. The second was to approve the minutes, and I believe, and R. Paul will have to correct me here, that we have 3 sets. Because we met so frequently in early September. Is that right, R. Paul?
That is correct.
Okay. The third item was just briefly the status of WPFW, whose treasurer has now become a PNB member and who hasn't selected another treasurer. So just an update on what that process is like. Item 4 is to approve an act on the national office budget. Item 5 is, if possible, approve an act on the consolidated budget for all 5, 6, 7 divisions. And item 6 is just a brief touching base about meeting dates and some agenda items for the rest of the year, assuming that we are through with our budget cycle, or at least pretty close to being through with our budget cycle. So that's the draft agenda. Would anyone like to move for approval or to amend it?
I move approval.
Okay, I heard Barbara say I move approval, and then I heard someone else.
That was me. Go ahead.
Okay. So there's no motion to amend? Are there any objections to approving the draft agenda? Okay, then we'll move on to approving the minutes. I think I'm actually at this point temporarily going to ask R. Paul just to take us through the dates on the 3 sets of minutes, and I assume these are all open session minutes.
Yes, these are. And
yeah.
Let me note down for these minutes when we're getting to this item. Okay.
I think it's something like the 15th, the 13th, and some other day.
It's the 13th, the 15th, and the 19th.
Okay.
And those are the 3 sets of minutes.
LeVarn here.
Great, LeVarn. Welcome.
Thanks.
And let me write that down.
Okay.
So we have
13.
3 sets of minutes here,
mm-hmm.
One of which I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 13th, the 15th, and the 19th.
I'm guessing it's the 15th you want to talk about. Is that correct?
No, I want to talk about the 13th.
Oh. Well, then why don't we do them in reverse order, go 19th and 15th, and then we'll do the 13th last.
Okay. I move.
Hopefully our memories will will hold up in reverse order. I don't know.
Then I'll move to approve the September 19th.
Okay, and that would be our WBAI. That's our brief and aborted meeting on the 19th. Okay. Are there any objections from the committee to approving the September 19th open session minutes? Okay. They are so approved. We'll then move to September 15th, which was our WBAI approval session. Would someone like to make a motion to approve those?
Come on, somebody else do it. All right,
Jim, I can approve.
Oh, who's that?
Jim.
Jim, okay.
Jim, thank you, Jim. The 15th, yes, that was our WBAI day.
Hello, how are you? Good.
Okay, are there any objections to approving the September 15th minutes open session? So approved. That will take us back to September 13th, and our Paul wanted to make a narrative comment regarding those minutes prior to bringing them up for approval, so go ahead.
All right. During the course of the minutes, if you look at them, after the motion about the NFC recommending the WPFW FY12 budget, there is a dashed line, and basically a member requested that his remarks about another member be put in the minutes. The chair allowed it.
She did.
And so I've put them in there with remarks and a reply, and they're basically, these things are bigger than the minutes, and Robert's Rules of Order says you don't write down what, you don't have in the minutes what people say in a meeting, you have what happens at the meeting, what people do at the meeting, and there are problems with this. If people want, we can talk about that some more, but simply on the fact that you're not supposed to have comments like this in there, I would like to move to strike, to amend these minutes by striking all between the motion about the NFC recommending the WPFW FY12 budget and the budget item, adjust 1925 depreciation for KPFA. So that's a that's an amendment I want to make to these. So there it is.
Okay, fair enough. As the chair, I will say that I remember making that decision, and I am very open to the fact that it was possibly a stupid thing to do. So I'm not going to object to the motion. Is there any further discussion on the motion?
Well, I'm going to amend it.
Yeah, I figured that there probably would be. I heard Campbell and I heard somebody else, female.
No,
I didn't.
Kim seconded it.
Kim seconded the motion. Okay, well, we don't have to second it, but okay. All right, well, let's have discussion. Campbell wants to say something, and then we will go to a vote, I guess.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. A statement was made regarding the budget and its acceptance at WPFW that I indicated was incorrect, and the option which, or rather the optional situation which WPFW is facing, and I raised a concern about that, and I provided a written statement for the record, and the written statement included something that is a, I think, a very serious matter, and that is the fact that WPFW has a restricted account, and it was stated in an email that there would be a very last resort intention to spend the restricted account for operational purposes, which was not permitted by the restricted account.
Someone stop that. Campbell, wait a minute until the noise is muted.
That was my fault, Kim. I wanted to get on the stack. I was having trouble with the other phone.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's stop the noise. You're on the stack. Campbell, you can pick up where you left off.
So the statement that I made, I had put in writing and sent to the group, and the statement that I had quoted, you know, that verified it, I attached as an email statement, and I had highlighted the two particular parts of it that verified what I had pointed out. And so this is something I think that as it concerns a very serious matter that could be of legal consequence in the future, I think that it is appropriate for it to be included in the record.
Okay. I heard Ken next on the stack.
And then our Paul.
Okay.
Okay. I consider this kind of use of the minutes a complete abuse of their intention and function, which is to document what occurred during the session. This is not Congress. You're not reading things into the record for future events. Things that are added to the record that haven't been exposed to the committee deny the committee the opportunity to challenge or question or inquire. And it's a complete abuse, and it's off the purpose of this committee. It doesn't contribute to the functions of this committee. You could have put stuff in there that has to do with other committees. We don't have the time or inclination to review it. It's a complete distraction, and I'm going to say this. It's a distraction and a delaying tactic to draw us off course. And so
Madam
really,
Chair, may I respond?
Strongly,
no, Campbell, you can
let me finish, Campbell. Allow me to finish. I strongly, strongly object to this kind of abuse of our normal committee parliamentary procedures to address financial matters and budgets of Pacifica under the direction of the chair of the committee. Thank you.
Our Paul is next on the stack. Our Paul?
Yeah. Again, first of all, Roberts, for a good reason, says you keep in the minutes what you've done. If you start putting in comments, it becomes a thin end of the wedge thing, and then, you know, you end up trying to achieve a transcript of what's said, and then the minutes get so filled up with what people say that you can't figure out what actually happened. So it shouldn't be in there for that reason. Also, people, you know, even what's said here back and forth isn't what generally goes in unless it's some sort of substantive thing that we're doing or a motion or something related to that. If something's going off in email, well, that isn't in the committee, and it really doesn't belong in the minutes. And people are going to need these minutes for the future, and I know that the auditors look at these minutes. And I think it would be probably very good to have the minutes be pretty lean and, you know, saying just, we did that, we voted on this, here's a number, and stuff like that, as opposed to, oh, there are these things back and forth with people. If it's in email, keep it in email, and that's fine. I hope that we will vote to just take this out and restore the minutes to the regular sort of minutes.
Kim, to the stack.
Okay,
Bruce,
I heard.
If possible.
Yeah, Bruce, you can talk. Okay, so there's Campbell, followed by Kim, followed by Bruce.
And Ken to the stack.
Okay. Campbell, you're up.
Yes. First thing that Ken was mentioning, that this, you know, that things that had not been shared with the Finance Committee as a group should not be included. And this statement had been shared with the Finance Committee as a group. It directly pertains to a very important issue regarding the handling of restricted funds, which are a legal matter. And so, you know, I think that this is something of some consequence. In regard to the auditors looking at the minutes, I think that that's a particular reason why something that pertains to the handling of restricted funds is important. And this is not a he said, she said proposition. This is where the issue that I'd raised, I had provided specific documentary evidence from the source as to what the statement was. Now, maybe the intention was, you know, using language rather loosely, but, you know, it is what it is, and it was a statement that was put in writing.
Okay, I think Kim is next on the stack.
Yeah, if this is an issue that's still like an ongoing issue, which it appears that it is, then we need to put it on the agenda and resolve it, because I don't even understand what's going on based on these emails. And it's useless, it's not informative, and it doesn't resolve whatever the issue is. So if there's an issue, let's put it on the agenda. Otherwise, take it off these minutes.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Campbell, I'd like to kind of go through the staff. Can you make it very brief?
Yes. Was this statement, I don't know that I'm on the National Finance Committee Yahoo group, but I was wondering if it did get ultimately circulated to the Finance Committee as a whole.
Yes, it did.
Ken's comment.
Yes. Bruce?
It did? Okay.
Yeah, it did. Bruce?
Well, first of all, I'm really sorry that this is coming up in the way that it's coming up. I'd like to say, first of all, in regards to the minutes, and I'm looking back at my notes from that meeting, and this is my best memory. Campbell made these same remarks during the course of the meeting. We were in the process of approving the WPFW budget. At the time, it didn't seem to me to be appropriate to make a big issue about this right then, and that I requested the ability to, you know, to make a rebuttal, and if it's grown out of control, then I'm sorry for that. But I do want to say now Campbell's making the same charges again, and he's making them over during a stream meeting, which means it's out to the public. And these are charges which are pretty serious charges against myself. And, you know, it seems unfair to me for me not to be able to speak to these accusations. And that's the problem I have here. So I don't care if you excise all these remarks out of the minutes, but I do have a problem with the possibility of someone in a meeting making accusations against somebody without that person being able to respond to that. And I feel pretty deeply about that because Director Campbell's Johnson is himself saying these are serious charges. And, you know, yeah, so that worries me quite a bit.
Okay. I'm going to put myself on the staff. Is there anyone who hasn't spoken to this who wants to? Okay, then I'm going to go to myself and just say that I did allow both parties to make comments for the minutes. Accordingly, I am going to abstain on Arpal's motion, although I do not object to it. I'm not clear whether it is appropriate for this committee to engage with this as an agenda item. However, I will say that at the end of this meeting, we are taking agenda items for future meetings. And if it's the consensus of the committee or a majority of the committee, they want to allocate some time to discuss this in the future, we can do so. Certainly, Bruce, since you are part of a subject of the conversation, and we will be talking shortly about your status at WPFW and so on and how to deal with it within this committee, I think you would certainly be welcome to join us for conversational purposes for that agenda item at a minimum. I think that would be only fair. So I'd like to sort of kick the conversation about whether or not we're going to take this up as an agenda item at a future meeting to that part of the agenda, which leaves us with a motion on the table for approving amended minutes. I assume there's an objection to that motion. So unless there is further discussion, we can go to a vote on it. So is there further discussion?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Yes,
Ken. Yes. The only thing that I would say is that what I provided was not hearsay. It was a direct email from Bruce, and you know, so there's no, in terms of saying, well, gee, I didn't mean that. Okay, that may be the case, but I'm just put down the words that were on the email, and I copied it directly, in total, not pulling out certain parts or anything like that. I copied it directly and pasted it to the email that I had sent out regarding the statement that I had made. So, you know,
Madam
the evidence
Chair,
is clear.
I believe I should be able to speak.
I'm not denying you the right to speak at all, Bruce. I am going to say we're pretty much out of time, so we need to start moving towards a vote here, but go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that what Director Johnson just did is just repeat in these vague ways the same charges all over again. And, you know, no one listening to this knows what that email said or what it looks like. And, you know, he's making innuendo and attacks, and he's simply repeating again, knowing full well that nothing's going to happen, and he can just lay these charges out there, and they'll just hang out there, and who knows what people are thinking. And,
we can read the statement.
I thought this is my name and reputation and everything else is on the line here. I just want to say that I protest this strongly, and I feel this is, you know, incredible behavior from a fellow committee member.
All right. I'm going to cut the conversation off here for both Campbell and Bruce. I understand that they're hard feelings. I have real questions about whether continuing this is a good idea, but we can talk about that when we get to it. At this point, I'm going to ask that we go to a vote on the motion about the minutes of this committee. I don't know whether it will be beneficial to discuss it further or not, but we can talk about that a bit later.
Can I make an amendment? I'm not sure if this is appropriate. I think the motion is that we take this stuff out of the minutes. And I guess I would just like to add, and we'll deal with this issue separately or not. We'll vote on dealing with that issue separately.
I think that that's not an amendment. That is what Campbell, that is what R. Paul's motion says. In other words, it addresses the issue of the minutes, and I will bring the item up when we get to item six or whatever it is, and we will make that decision.
Okay.
Okay, so with that, R. Paul, if you could take us to a vote on whether to accept the minutes as amended.
Well, actually, it's an amendment to excise.
Yes.
I'll read it again. Excise from those minutes, let me get to them, everything between the motion recommending the WPFW budget and the adjust 1925 depreciation agenda item.
Can we do it in one piece that having made that motion, we therefore approve the minutes as amended? Or do we have to go through two votes? I think we can.
It would go faster concatenating it, but I think it would actually work better if we just did it, you know, if we have to do it in two chunks. It'll be neater.
All right. You win. It's okay.
I'm not winning. All right.
All right. So we will start with R. Paul's motion to remove, to excise the described text from the minutes of September 13th. Yes is a vote to excise. No is a vote to leave the material in.
Okay.
R. Paul, could you call the roll?
Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Jim Boyd.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tracy Rosenberg.
Abstain.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes. Yes.
Barbara Wipperman.
Abstain.
LaVarne Williams.
Abstain.
Okay, and since we're 10, that's it. The vote is 6-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, and then we will move almost immediately to a vote on whether to accept the minutes as amended. So same thing, R. Paul, as soon as you're ready.
Yep, I got it there. Okay, motion is to approve the September 13th minutes as amended. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Jim Boyd.
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Campbell Johnson?
No.
Kim Kaufman?
Yes.
Marple Martin, yes. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Barbara Wimperman?
Abstain.
LeVar Williams?
Abstain.
Okay, it's 7-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions.
Okay. Thank you for hanging in with that, guys. At this point, we are going to move our agenda briefly to the WPFW status, I hope briefly. Let me just motivate this a bit, and then we will see what the consensus of the group is. For anyone who doesn't know, Bruce Wolf joined the Pacifica National Board as a representative from WPFW. He was seated on September 23rd, 2011 in Washington, D.C., and at that moment he resigned as WPFW's treasurer. The WPFW LSB has not yet selected a new treasurer. I stand to be corrected here, but the last that I heard is that they would not do so until their November 2011 LSB meeting. I don't know exactly what date that is in November, but that they were taking nominations at their upcoming meeting and would be voting in November. So we will have a sustained period of time without an LSB treasurer from Washington, D.C. Bruce Wolf can no longer vote on the committee as of September 23rd. However, until there is a replacement person, it seemed to me that we would be better off as a committee to have his ongoing verbal participation and presence, because otherwise WPFW really is only getting 50% of their due representation. And, of course, if we're going to do a sort of a year-end financial summary for WPFW, it would be nice to have Bruce's input. Once we have a replacement treasurer from WPFW, at that point, nominally that person would replace Bruce on the committee through the end of this committee's life, which is, I guess, 3 weeks into January 2012, give or take. We certainly could, if we wished, and the new treasurer didn't object, allow him to stay on as a non-voting participant. That's up to us. Or he would simply remove himself from the committee on the appointment of his replacement. So I guess that the motion that I'm asking for approval is that Bruce remain as a non-voting member until the WPFW LSB sends us a replacement LSB treasurer.
I have
delegate
a,
to the committee.
A point of information.
Yeah.
Bruce, are you still chairing your finance committee and kind of still guiding them through these
yes.
rough
yeah,
waters?
Yeah, I'm going to be remaining as chair of the finance committee.
Okay.
Madam
so we
Chair.
Will, yeah, just 1 second, Campbell. So we will take a stack on this. I think that probably it's good for the committee to, you know, to make their sentiments known about how we're going to proceed. So I will leave that on the floor as a motion. And I think in terms of what happens after WPFW appoints a new treasurer, we can have a discussion at that point. It looks like it won't be until mid-November, so it is fairly far in the future. Campbell wanted to be on the stack. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Arpal has something with Alex.
Okay, so I heard Campbell, followed by Arpal, followed by Alex.
Jim.
Okay. Campbell, do you want to start?
Okay, thank you. The bylaws are very clear on this. It's just the bylaws say that the treasurer is a member of the National Finance Committee. And we have the National Finance Committee has been historically very explicit in that regard. I was also treasurer of WPFW, and when I moved to the board, then you know I gave up the position of treasurer. The treasurer is the chair of the station's finance committee, And that's just the way that it is. That isn't a voting kind of situation. It's just the way that the action is taken. And I relinquished as chair of Finance Committee when I ceased to be treasurer. And there wasn't any issue raised about that. I think that there's certainly a desire for this station to appoint someone in, you know, the place of, you know, of Bruce since he's resigned, and I think that that's what the station should do. It could do that on an interim basis at its very next meeting before it has an election.
Okay.
This is something that the chair can take, you know, upon himself as chair of the LSB. So I think that that's an action that is in the court of the, you know, of WPFW, and it's not something that we can just, that the NFC can just go ahead and violate the bylaws.
This is Tracy with a point of order, and then I will continue with the stack. Campbell, I want to be clear that the NFC has no control over who is the chair of the WPFW Local Finance Committee, nor does it have any control over the actions of the WPFW LSB. The only control the NFC has is over our committee, and we have stated that Bruce is not a voting member of the committee. He is, however, the outgoing treasurer, and there is no incoming treasurer as of this moment in time. That is the status. Our Paul, you're next, followed by Alex, followed by Jim.
Yes. First of all, I'm not sure that this requires a motion at all. Bruce is not voting, so right
can
there.
Can you speak
that,
up, Paul?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Hard to hear you.
Oh, can you hear me? I'm hoping you're hearing
me. That's better.
Okay. I'm not sure that this requires a motion at all because Bruce already acknowledges, and we acknowledge, okay, as not treasurer, he's not voting. He is, however, on the PNB, and PNB members have certainly been allowed to come to the meetings in the past and be here. So in terms of his being here on the phone call, that's something any of the PNB members can do and have done in the past. Any number of them have done it in the past. And in terms of representation from a station, we have in the past said, yes, the stations all should be represented as much as is possible. I can remember a couple of years ago when someone from a station, their status as, you know, being on the PNB was very doubtful. And yet they were allowed to participate in this committee because that particular station would otherwise have not had representation here. So, I mean, unless there's something extraordinary, which I don't think there is, I don't think we need a motion. It's just that Bruce has the same rights as all of the other PNB members do. As a director, he gets to come in and be here on this, and if we feel like asking him a question, we get to do that. So I think he can be here, and I don't think it requires a motion.
Okay. I'll rule on that at some point, but let's just go ahead with the stack. Alex, followed by Jim.
On the legal point, I suppose our poll is correct. The director does not need a motion to participate in a meeting of the Finance Committee. However, the motion before us is that we are, in fact, inviting Bruce to participate. Whether that's required to or not, I think we should go ahead and vote on that, just to show that this committee values his contribution, and plain common sense tells us it would be beneficial to the committee that we can get the valuable input from Bruce, and until such time as the WPFW LSB comes up with a new treasurer.
Jim, you're next.
I think through the whole year we've had business managers, general managers, and other related people
coming in and giving advice based on their experience with their stations, reviewing the good work that Bruce did with the station and shepherding the budget through his station. I don't see how anyone could say that his help would not be beneficial to the NFC. I think the one question we do have, though, is in executive session, is the only requirement for him to attend the signing of the confidentiality agreement. I think we should make sure that if he's going to be on the NFC meetings, it's also determined that he can attend any of the special sessions.
Point of information, the PNB can come into any executive session they want as well.
That is true. That is true, and he is tied by the usual confidentiality agreements that all PNB members are, so that wouldn't be any different. Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to address that? Because I guess I have to deal with sort of our Paul's sort of point of order. Okay. I think that under the circumstances, the ruling of the chair is that I would like to leave the motion in, not because it necessarily is required, but basically in accordance with Alex's assessment of it, that if it is in fact the will of this committee, I think it would be nice to have that on the record. If it is not the will of the committee, then I think that's also information that we need to have. So my preference would be, unless our Paul would like to overrule me, which of course he can try to do, my preference would be that we go ahead and vote on the motion. So that's the ruling that I'm going to make for what it's worth. Is there any further discussion? Our Paul, you of course have the option to overrule the chair if that's what you want to do.
I purposely did not make that a point of order. I just made that as something I said.
Okay.
So there's no point of order on this.
Okay, great.
I would like to hear the motion restated, though, to make sure I've got it.
Mm-hmm.
What I have is to invite Bruce Wolf to be part of the committee as a non-voting member.
Until the WPFW-LSB elects a replacement treasurer. I think once that happens, we will have to revisit it. But until that point, it's clear to me that Bruce is of value to the committee.
Okay, so the motion as I have it then is to invite Bruce Wolf to be part of the committee as a non-voting member until the WPFW-LSB
elects
a replacement treasurer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, are there any objections to the motion?
Yes.
Okay, our Paul, could you call the roll?
Okay. On the motion, Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Jim Boyd.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Campbell Johnson.
No.
Kim Kaufman.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman.
Abstain.
LaVarne Williams.
Abstain.
Okay, it's 7-4, 1 against, 2 abstentions.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. With that, we will move the agenda to the National Office Budget. Getting to what we're supposed to be doing. So, we have a National Office Budget. We received 2 copies. The one that we are going to be working with is the most recently submitted. It is called P&O 2012 Budget Revised. I see a copy was sent at 5:32, and I believe it was also sent earlier this afternoon, about 2:30. Is everyone able to access that file?
Tracy, it's LaVarne. The budget was sent last night at 8:05. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the same one. So I resent it today when you said that you hadn't received it. But yeah, it was
okay. That could be my oversight. I'm sorry. Just to be clear, it's 11:09 P&O FY 2012 budget revised.
I don't think I got it last night either, so I don't know.
I don't either, but I got it as the meeting was started.
Excuse me, point of information, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
It's 11:09 P&O FY 2012 budget 2011, or 10-10
No.
NFC? Is that it, or what are we looking at?
No. Let me go back to the email. Probably the easiest file to pull is one was sent at 5:32 this afternoon. I can forward it, and it is the heading on the message is Forward P&O 2012 Budget Revised. The file in question is called, yes, I'm sorry, 1109 P&O FY 2012 Budget 2011-10-10 NFC.xls. Yikes.
Okay.
But yes, that's the one.
Trying to keep them together, trying to keep them straight.
I know, I know. It's okay. It's just when you read it out on the stream, it's like, yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I sent all the gory details. I'm sorry. So go ahead, Tracy.
The gory details?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it should be a spreadsheet with several tabs, including assumptions and historical data, budget, FY 2012, shared expenses, cash flow, reconciliation, budget cash flow, mail drive income, et cetera, et cetera.
Madam Chair, this is Ken.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm not on the internet, but I received the one that was titled, a similar title, except it said preliminary, that came
right
out. Okay. So I.
Right. We now have an up. We now have another one that is working with some revised numbers. They are better numbers, so it's good
all
news.
All right. Okay. I'll try to get it down.
So okay. I will also do a little.
Is more accurate.
I'm sorry?
The 537 one that you would have received, 537, is more correct.
It is revised, yes.
Okay, that's a consolidated P&O. Okay, so that's the 532 one,
yes.
Right?
Yes, it is. And I will do a little bit of reading of some numbers off it just to make sure that we're all looking at the same. So if you're in doubt, you should be looking at a total budget. You should have in line 11AA under total budget revenue. You should have $710,975. Line 7 under total budget FY 2012 total shared expenses. Line 18.
Wait, first
AA.
Of all, we're on the tab consolidated budget or P&O budget?
P&O.
Okay.
We have to do P&O first.
Okay. Okay. So line what?
I'm just reading off a couple numbers to make sure we're all looking at the same thing. Line 11 under column AA, and this is in the tab labeled budget. It says FY 2011, but it should say FY 2012.
No. Mine says P&O budget FY 2012.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm just talking about the tab in the spreadsheet, not the title of the spreadsheet.
I have consolidated P&O, PRA, KPFA.
Yeah, no. Just go to a P&O only spreadsheet. We're just looking at the P&O. We're not looking at the consolidated.
Well,
it's
the one
the
that
email.
I got is 538 is 2012 consolidated Pacifica budget. Blah, 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 which is what I just opened. And then I got another 2012 consolidated Pacifica budget.
We're not looking at the consolidated. We're looking at the P&O. You received
okay.
that at 5:32 p.m. Separate email.
Okay.
Came at 5:32.
Okay,
it said
I see
forward,
it. Okay.
P&O 2012
okay,
budget
got it.
Revised.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And Tracy, could you repeat the number that you were confirming?
Okay. Yeah, just give me a second to let Kim get it open.
The version that I have does not have the convenient number, so could you read the account number also? And,
sure.
You
sure.
know,
okay.
say where
so,
you are in the budget.
Yeah, so just to be clear, we're only dealing with the P&O now. The email that we're going to use came at 5:32 p.m., called Forward P&O 2012 Budget Revised, has two files, Excel. One is an XLS, one is an XLSX. Thank you, Lavarne, someone who
You're
can't
welcome.
Read XLSXs. And when you open the file, it's got a number of tabs. We're going to go to the tab that says Budget, which is the second one from the left.
budget 2011.
It says that. It means it's supposed to be 2012, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
And if we look at that document, just to do a quick check, under revenue, line 11, under, something just dropped and broke. Okay. Under revenue, column AA, under total budget, we should have the figure $710,975.
Okay.
Breaking.
I'm sorry, Tracy. Which total is this that you're reading?
Line 11, column AA.
I don't have 11 in AA. I need to do it with the name.
Revenue.
The total revenue?
Total revenue.
Okay.
It's about 10 columns down. It should be under the 2012 budget column.
I'm looking at total revenue. And your figure was what?
710,975.
Yeah. So I've got the wrong budget here.
Oh, no. Okay.
Mine
well,
says 589,805. So I guess I have one before the corrections.
You do. So take a second and look around. And what I think maybe we'll do is have LaVarne give us a little bit of a motivation and background on it, and she can sort of do that while people are getting it up on the screen. So, LaVarne, could you think you could do that in 5 or 10 minutes?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Okay. The original budget was sent like at 8:05 p.m. last night, and it was in the two versions that Trace had set. So it was sent at 8:05 p.m. Monday night. We did some updates because the original budget I sent last Friday had a deficit in it. So what we did is we went in, Arlene and I, and we looked at the budget numbers, and we made some revisions based on what we thought we could really do in the budget. So what I am going to do is I am going to go – now, I sent out the budget here, and it has, like, with all the tabs on it. So if you look at budget FY, it had 2011. Just change that to 2012 if you can, because actually I have a protect on the the people who work the budget for me, we put protects on there. So what we did is we looked at we put in a forecast for 2011, and then we show – so if you look at lines at column AA, AB, and AC, and you look at beginning at line 3 and looking at revenue. So if we look at our budget for 2012 and we look at our forecast for 2011 and our audited 2010 numbers. So on the mail fund drive, we'll just start there. It's line 5 or
LaVarne, before you go further, why is this a forecast for 2011? When we're at the end of the year and we should have, like, actuals.
No, we don't have – Kim, we have a 5-day close at the end of the year. You're not going to have actuals.
Until about the 15th of the month,
Until and since this is the end of the fiscal year, and also I have the project where we're going in and we have an internal auditor who's going in and actually correcting our report so we can – so we can spit the reports out. You will not have your actuals until around the 15th of the month, at the end of the month. But
can we consider these are close to actuals?
It should be, it should be because, I did put in the numbers that I knew they were to be. So it should be close to actuals. So if we look at the FY 2011 forecast, it looks like on the donations that number should be right on. And, in fact, all of the numbers should be pretty close. Now, don't hold me to that, but that's what I'm saying. So if you look at the numbers and you look at 2012 budget versus 2011 forecast again, we are on the mail fund drive. Initially, we had lower numbers, but we went in and we looked at it. Our numbers for – we are achieved about $140,000 on the mail fund in 2011. This year, we're going to have we'll have some support with Kim Klein on our mailer, so we think we will be, more successful, but we just modestly raised it to $144,000. We also have volunteer help on our database with our list, So we will be able to get clean that list and have a better list of donors. So again, you know, we just modestly improved it to 144,000 from the about 137 this year. That we have income from affiliates, you know, we're estimating about 225. That number is usually about, you know, very much on target. Now, we haven't gotten a lot, you know, we expect to get a lot more contracts completed at this date. So those, we haven't gotten as many contracts in as we usually get, but, you know, we're pretty sure that number will come in at 225. It was at 242 this year. This year, we got a $50,000 major donor income. Next year, we're thinking that we will have, again, we'll have some support again with Kim Klein in terms of major donor help. So we think that we should at least get 25,000, half the amount that we got this year. Grants income, we're pretty sure we get about a $10,000 grant that we get from a group in Atlanta, and we're saying that we will get another, you know, we should be able to work those two and get another five. So although we got about 30,000 this year, we're expecting 15 for next year. You know, that's a modest, you know, amount. But in terms of, you know, like the guaranteed is only the 10 that I'm aware of. And the SCA income, that's pretty sure in terms of we have the contracts. We the SCA contracts that we have, the people are pretty good in terms of payment, because the ones that was not good, they're no longer with us. We have a new contract with a different group. So we're pretty sure that we will get the $291,600. So the revenue, you know, looks, you know, is conservative enough. And with our additional help this year, we think that that's what we will achieve.
Okay. So it's within 15,000 of the FY 2010 audited and a little bit less than we're forecasting for this year.
Yes.
Taking questions?
I think we should probably finish the LaVarne's motivation and then do questions.
Okay. So on the shared expenses, that's just basically, I should have done the percentages, but the percentages on shared expenses are basically the 17%, with the exception of WBAI. So we put in there on shared expenses, we put in the amount that the AI will has in
right,
there.
From the budget, right.
So
right.
Basically we have the budgeted amount in there. And so that's the same. On direct expenses, if you kind of compare to our forecast this year, we are up. And if you want to talk about the programming, I can talk about that some. And if we go to one of, I'll try to find one of our. Tab here. Let me just find one here. Well, you know what? I'll go down below. If you go down to programming, go down to like beginning with line 93. Okay, you see that? Line 93. Mm-hmm. We have Democracy Now. That will go up by almost $25,000 based on the contract. So it was $650 this year. We're up to $674 next year. We have the satellite fees, you know, we pay satellite fees. That's like $90,000, and that's what we use to pay satellite fees to broadcast Democracy Now! To the affiliates, and any, you know, special programming that we have that will be included in that cost. Programming services, this is primarily for the elections that are coming up. You know, we're looking at the three elections primarily, you know, Democrat, Republican, and one of the alternative conventions. And so we also included a little more in here for audio port, and also to, I think the 5,000 is also related to audio port. I can just go to exactly what that is. So that's why the programming is up almost $90,000. It's due primarily to coverage of the elections, the national elections, and also the increase on the Democracy Now! Contract.
Got it.
And if we want to talk about salaries and related, we would need to go on a closed session, so you can make a decision. And other administrative expenses, it's always trying to control these expenses. And if we look at our forecast on our audit fees of what we're able to do, I guess I can't go into too much detail, but we were able to, if you look at September 2011, we were able to get a credit on prior fees that were due. So therefore, when it shows our audit fees of only about $50,000, that's because we were able to get a credit on the prior expenses that we had accrued for the audit. But the audit cost will be about $95,000. We've received about 3 engagement letters, so there's a motion that our chair will put before the board in order to approve one of the audit firms that we have talked with. So the audit is like $80,000 for the audit, for the audit for the firm, and then the pension audit is another $15,000. So that's why there's a difference there. And anything, and so those are that's like $45,000 right there. We have insurance increase, and let me just say that well, we're all aware that we've had some serious lawsuits. We seem to be a lawsuit magnet, and we should all be thankful that we have insurance, because we could very well be cut because of these serious lawsuits that Pacifica seemed to attract I'll stop there. And so that's primarily where we see the differences, in our costs from year to year.
Okay, thank you, LaVon. It's good to see that the adjustment that we made for WBAI has been accommodated and isn't throwing everything askew on the national office front. I was afraid of that. It looks like we've made the necessary adjustments. Let's open it up for questions and comments.
Alex.
Arpaul,
Campbell.
Alex, Campbell. Anybody else? Okay, we'll start there. Arpaul.
Okay. First, curiosity thing, line 20, check. It looks like there are times in there. What is that?
For line 20. Oh, that's because I'm sorry. This format was initially sent out is like an old format, and there was a line in there that did not make any sense anymore. So I just threw that in there for a question.
Okay. For future requests, could we make sure that all of the spreadsheets have lines going all the way across? Because
I sent it on the consolidated one, the one that Kim was about to announce. I put the lines on there, and I will put the lines on these. But I put the lines on the consolidated based on your request. Yes.
Line 15, shared expenses, WBAI, FY20 audited. So that'll be cell AC15. BAI actually kicked in $385,000 in.
No, and we have this ongoing analysis, and hopefully I'll have it done by the end of tomorrow, which will show the actual cash. In fact, I do have a balance sheet that we did for July the 30th shows the actual cash that was received versus the amount that was accrued. So when we do accrual accounting, we accrue the amount that should be paid due to central services. So, but I actually have a sheet. We've been working forever, but now we actually have it in process. And also I have the July. I'll send out the July balance sheet that we did that shows the interstation transfers. But what we have is I have another sheet that we're working on that will show the actual cash that was transferred and versus what we accrued. And if we look at the cash flow, we have what we'll have is actually we don't have, we don't really have the I think this is accrual too on the FY 209 audit, but we're working on this project and I should have that soon.